In the dim dark past, the world was not as it is. The continent Mew is unknown now, but long ago it stood as the centre of the world. And there, in the north, the tribe of the Bear Cave lived and died with only their ingenuity and prodigious magical gifts to keep them safe. Little did they realise that a storm was brewing around them that would change their way of life forever. Join us now as we experience their time in Paleomythic, Tribe of the Bear Cave. Hello and welcome to episode 366 of The Court of Tea and Dice, and I'm trying this again. I'm Modrigan, and I will be your GM for this evening for Paleomythic, Tribe of the Bearclaw Cave, I think, Food for All the Family, Session 4. Now, if you are listening to this, you have probably gone straight from Session 3 to Session 4, as I know that it is the directly previous one in the list. Now, for you, that has been a matter of 7 days. For us, it has been more like 7 weeks, because we had to have a brief sojourn into dealing with newborn babies. So, if we're a bit rusty, I hope you will give us some leeway and understand. We're having a day. Right, so, I'm Modrigan. I'm the GM. Hopefully I can remember how to run games in general, and this one in particular. I'm going to start with Archive.
Hello, I'm Archive, and I'm playing Soren, who is a sickly tracker type.
Next we'll go with Blooded.
Hello, I'm Blooded, and I'm playing Kursk.
And what does Kursk do?
Kursk is a thief, and he uses a blow dart a lot.
When he doesn't break it.
Yeah, when he doesn't break it.
It's been repaired again, right?
Mm-hmm, I believe so.
Excellent. And then we will go with Bubbles.
I knew you were going to ask me. Hi, I'm Bubbles. I think I'm playing Odina Ravenhair. I think that's her name.
Yes.
But I suck and I don't have my notes in front of me. And she's a cultist.
She is indeed a cultist. And I believe you got a spear.
Yes, I do, when it doesn't break.
Again, with the breaking. Then we'll go with Hardwick.
Hello, I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing Lop, the brawler slash priest of the Great Cave Bear.
You also, I believe, have a spear, and have been putting it to very good use.
It has been quite effective.
And you also made a spear, a spike trap, which was very effective as well. But we'll get to that in a minute. Next we have, well, normally we'd have Il Porcupino. I believe she is currently suffering from computer issues, so she may join us later, but she may not. In which case, we will move straight on to Loka.
Hi, I'm Loka Centaurus, and I am playing Fren, who is most definitely not your friend. He is a bone charter, so a necromancer, and he has a thorn staff, which means he has a hitty stick, and also a knife.
A thorn staff, hitty stick, and he's a necromancer, everybody. So then, the question now becomes, what happened last time on Paleomythic? Now, we're going to have to plumb the depths of our memories here, because, yeah, it's been a while.
I know we killed the elk, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last time began when the elk started moving.
Yes. Well, it started when old Porcupino turned up, actually.
Well, yeah. Okay. The time before that ended when the elk opened his eyes, and then Ember turned up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the spike trap worked really, really well.
It did.
Fren nearly got trampled.
Yeah. The boulder rolling happened, and I believe that turned the elk into your spike trap. The spike trap went cut off without a hitch. You stabbed it up, Odina. And I know for a fact that Kursk managed to land a couple of telling blows with his blowpipe before it broke. And then Ember, the fire starter, stepped forward and threw a spear through its neck. Like, clean through its neck. So the elk, now dealt with, you started to think about how you were going to lug all of the meat that you now had home. And your crafters decided that the best way to do this would be to build two sledges. So while they repaired all the weaponry with the wood that they already had, the rest of you went off to look for more wood so that you could build the sledges, as you already had the hide and the sinew that you needed, because you'd just killed a giant elk and the antler, because that's making up the runners. You did manage to find the wood that you needed, and then I believe you spent the rest of the day making two sledges. You spent the rest of the day making the sledges and putting the meat onto them, and then you dragged it inside your fir tree with you to spend the night. However, as night fell and you huddled around your nice warm fire with the sledges, you heard in the distance what could best be described as some kind of large cat. A very big cat. Making a sound. So I believe it is night time. What would you all like to do?
Sleep? A big cat. Feels like not maybe best idea to sleep.
Do we have any idea what that big cat noise is likely to be? Have we encountered something like it before?
That I don't know.
Oh, no.
I'm just trying to think what the appropriate traits would be. Trait list. Can you make me a wise check?
So that's number of active traits plus one for wise if you have it, right?
Correct.
Okay. Which is the thing. I get 1-6.
Okay.
Which I believe is the success metric for this system.
Yes.
It has been a while.
There are two possible large cats that it could be. One bad and one very bad.
Okay.
So there is what is known to the tribes around here as a flint cat.
Oh dear.
Flint cats are 2.5 meters long, and they have curved teeth that come out of their upper jaw and come to just below their lower jaw. The other alternative is it could be what is known as a tusk cat.
That doesn't sound much better.
No, this is a tiger approximately 4 meters long with teeth that protrude considerably below its lower jaw. Sort of like, well, if you wanted to describe them in a modern parlance, more like sabers.
Yeah, I was going to say, it just sounds like some kind of saber-toothed cat.
Yeah, basically, a flint cat is a scimitar-toothed cat, and a tusk cat is a saber-toothed cat.
Okay, then.
Neither sound particularly pleasant.
Both are really not creatures that you guys would fight if you can avoid it.
Mm. Roughly how far in the distance was it, do you reckon?
For that wise roll, I would say that Fren is fairly certain it was up the mountain somewhere, which would make... Well, honestly, if it's a tusk cat, it doesn't make much sense for it to be up here anyway, because they tend to hunt down on the plains, but possibly the winter, or maybe this is an older cat and it's come up here because it's been pushed out of its hunting grounds. If it's a tusk cat, then yeah, it's likely to be an older tusk cat that's been pushed up into the mountains. And it sounded like it was up in the mountains. If it's a flint cat, then they do hunt around here. But again, it sounded like it was up in the mountains, but it does sound like maybe it's close enough that it might have been able to smell the meat, because there is a huge amount of blood. You've got nearly a ton and a half of meat. Well, no, you've got over a ton of meat or leftover bits of elk.
So when you say up in the mountains, is that a significant distance away or... it doesn't really matter if it can smell the blood, it's going to be here regardless.
Yeah, that was kind of my question. Like, do we have enough time to rest for a bit and kind of move out in the morning? But... if it's smelling...
We've just butchered a Near, yeah. What, nearly 2-ton animal?
What? Yeah. 1.5 tons.
Yeah, there's plenty of attractants, shall we say.
Mm. I mean, the elk took out the nearest wolves for you, but...
Yeah. That's certainly a bonus, but...
I mean, they said it might be an old one, so maybe it would take longer, because it's...
Yeah, but it's still not going to be an all-night job, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay. Well, I think we have a local issue, then.
I think Lop would probably go and be stealthy and investigate.
Okay. Yeah, that would be really good, because then we'd have a good idea of where it is.
So he does have this...
Shadower
thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you...
Do we have...
Go on.
Sorry. I was just going to say, do we have anyone who has some kind of trait or something like hunter or tracker, which may be able to give us some idea how to hide the... I know it sounds stupid, but like kind of cover our tracks a bit.
You do have a hunter, but unfortunately Ember is feeling weak because the person who plays her isn't here.
Ember has fallen asleep and we cannot wake her.
Yes, yes. The
That's irritating.
The great cave bear guided her arm in throwing the spear, but it has also sucked all of the life out of her for the moment, so she's asleep. I would suspect Lop probably knows enough to cover your tracks, but physical tracks is not really your problem.
Yeah. I think we need someone with a bit more specific kind of covering kind of our existence rather than
make this stop smelling like a ton of meat. Yeah.
Yeah, like there might be some trick of like covering it with like specific leaves or dirt or something. I don't know.
How did these cats feel about fire?
Like all animals, they're not fans.
Hmm. That's something we've got.
It's almost a shame that Ember the fire starter's asleep, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Like why would they be asleep at a time like this?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, they put all of that energy into coming and finding us.
Yeah, this is true.
And then there was a fight with a 1.5-ton elk.
Yep. I mean, they've technically got excuses. So, Lop, you were going to go out and have a look around.
Yes.
Okay, so you are still in the same tent tree that you were in last night. So you're just at the front of the Box Canyon where the elk went to sleep. Mm-hmm. The rock slide has actually made it easier to get to the top of that Box Canyon. But would you go up there to have a look at the mountains which are behind it, or would you just move along the bottom? What's your plan for going to look and see, as it were?
Can Fren point out a general direction?
You were all inside the tree.
Right.
Can we at least get a direction on where the sound came from?
Well, you've got a Box Canyon right next to you is the problem. It's a bit echoey and so on. The mountains are directly behind it, though, so it's going to be, as you step out, in front of you somewhere. If you wait, it might call again. Failing that, you think it came from sort of the right side, so where the rock slide was, that sort of direction.
It's now got an easy way down, basically.
Yeah, but you also have an easy way up to go and have a look if you want. But again, it's also quite an agile cat, unless it is a geriatric one. So getting down was never really going to be a problem for it.
I might as well stealthily move up the rock slide.
Okay. You move up and... hang on a second. But yes, so you move up to the top and sort of... have a look around. You're fairly certain that no creature will be able to tell you're there because, as I said before, you're a shadower. However, I would like you to make me an aware check because you're trying to find whatever creature it is.
An aware check, okay. I rolled a 5, a 4, and a 1.
None of those are 6s. Now, if I remember correctly, you've still got rerolls.
Let me have a look.
Two. still?
I believe so, yes.
I honestly like can't remember that. When you used the first one. I don't know if you have used any of them, in which case you'd have three.
No, I think I did use one on...
It was in the first session, it must have been.
Yeah, it was when we were building the trap, I think.
No, you didn't use one for the trap because your roll was 2 sixes and 2 ones. It was like, okay, you succeed or not. Right, okay.
I know I have 2 left, yeah. So...
Okay, so are you going to use them? If so, re-roll all the dice.
I do get a 6.
Okay, so you stand there for a little while and you're scanning the mountain. Obviously, it's dark. I assume you haven't gone out with a lighted torch, because that would be like saying, hey, tasty human, over here, tasty human on their own, come eat me. So you're looking...
Can I make my shadow a test for changing the shape of my shadow or whatever it is it does?
I really need to start telling you all the pages things. So in a second, I'm going to tell you a page. All right, page 31.
Okay.
Okay. So you want to contort your body so that you appear to be an animal of roughly the same size. Okay, so you could be an ape, a deer, a hyena, a leopard, a wolf, or some sort of beast man. Make a guileful test.
Okay.
And then tell me what you're being.
Well, I don't get a 6, so it's probably a moot point.
I'm afraid so.
So I'm in human shape instead.
Okay. Well, you're standing there and trying to see where that sound came from. And you look back and forth across the mountains. It's quite a clear night, so there's quite a lot of stars out, but there's not... The moon is like a crescent. It's not very helpful. And then you look... You start like scanning backwards and forwards, and you know the bear cloak you're wearing?
Mm.
The hood slips over your eyes, over your face, and obviously, because it's the head of the bear, it slips over your eyes, and you see out through the eyes of the bear hood, and it highlights one area of the mountain for you. And on a rock, maybe 500 meters up the mountain, you can see a tusk cat sort of standing there pretty still, sniffing the air.
Okay.
It is big. It from this distance, it's difficult to tell, but you think it might be either old or injured.
Okay.
So it's above you, and it doesn't seem to know exactly where you are yet, but it has definitely smelled something that it likes the smell of.
Right. I will stealth back, I guess. I don't want to take on a, like, 4-meter... Saber-toothed tiger by myself.
No, it would be bad.
So I will head back.
Okay. So friend's gone maybe probably 20 minutes and then returns to the tree tent.
Do they like finding it?
Yes. It is a tusk cat, possibly older near where the rock slide was, or a bit further down. Obviously smelling tasty things.
Old enough that you think we have a chance?
I'm going to say possibly.
Okay. Definitely. Well, okay, if you can see it, it's not going to be away all night, as it were.
It will find us.
Yeah. I think at this point we get the most time by laying in wait for it. It's going to come to us, so we already have... that on our side.
Is it worth trying to sleep in shifts just to get some people some rest?
I don't know if that's a thing in this system.
We did it before.
Yeah.
Sure, but we did it in relatively long shifts, didn't we?
4-hourly shifts.
Okay.
I'm just thinking some of us getting some rest is better than none of us getting any.
It might be best to have our heaviest hitters on the resting party then, because I'm pretty sure that's not me. And then those of us who might be able to see better than hit can help the heavy hitters get the rest.
Please continue. I'm trying to find out what exhaustion in this system.
I seem to remember you looking it up a session or two ago and it was bad.
Yeah.
I think it's something like we lose a trait. Oh, no, that's when we get injured.
That's when we when get injured. Yeah.
Losing traits. I think exhaustion, basically, there doesn't seem to be any direct rules for you haven't slept in a few days. But it is not a terrible idea to get people sleep if you can get it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I would definitely move the people who are going to be doing significant attacks. So it's been a while, I've forgotten.
I think in terms of people who are going to put out the most damage, Kursk is probably up there because he can take multiple shots.
Mm-hmm.
And then possibly the people with spears, because they get the chance to do multiple levels of damage.
Okay. So Fren will volunteer to be on the watching and waiting crew whilst those individuals are getting their rest. Mm-hmm. So there's no impact on when the creature inevitably catches up to us.
Are you happy with that, Kursk?
Yeah, that's fine.
Is there any way we can mask the smell? I do have some incense. I don't know if that would work.
I mean,
or would that just attract it? I'm back.
It might. The incense might work if you weren't sitting right next to where you butchered the thing. If you were on the move, certainly the incense, burning the incense as you moved would make it more difficult for the creature to follow the smell of the blood. But the problem you have at the moment is you butchered a giant elk about 5 meters away.
Yeah.
Could we spare a small part of what we have as some sort of bait?
Yeah.
Like, put a bit between it and us so it would be distracted before it got to us.
I mean, there's all the bones to begin with.
Yeah.
Because it won't necessarily know that you've taken all the good bits off. And you will have left behind, has put this, certain organs that you're not interested in eating.
Awful.
That's the word. Awful.
Basically, if those bits are maybe some bits strung up a tree, generally in a pile slightly away from us, where we can maybe see what it's doing and have that sort of little extra preparation, it's distracted time.
Yeah, you can totally. You can totally
deal with those. Okay.
As I said, you haven't taken all of the skeleton. You won't have taken, as Bloody put it, the offal. There's the sheer amount of blood that came out of it while you were chopping it up. So you could just set your ambush round the bones.
Hmm.
I mean, you think it likely it'll go there first because that is going to be the highest concentration of blood scent.
That makes sense.
It's just once it gets to there, it'll then go, oh, there's surprisingly little meat here. Smells like there's a shitload of meat in that tree. And then it would be on you and the sledges.
Yeah.
But
yeah, this is probably a stall it for long enough to have the first attack sort of situation, I'm guessing.
I mean, you can absolutely do that. Obviously, at the moment, you guys have got a fire in there with you, which makes you a bit more conspicuous if you're planning an ambush. Unless you change where you are and move the camp further away, or decide not to bother with the camp until you've dealt with the giant tiger.
I mean, there was that option of the incense. Is it worth burning some incense and moving so it gets down, it sees the bones and stuff? We're a little bit further away.
How to put this in a friendly fashion. Is there much runoff from the sleds? Or is it mostly dry and drained at this point? Or at least frozen?
It's not quite frozen. It's a little drippy.
Okay. Because what I'm thinking is if we're not leaving a trail of the stuff, we could let it find the bones, burn some incense here, stop the fire with a bit of wood, so that it will go beyond, whilst we depart, and then make a break in the trail by moving the sleds. And because as long as it's all still inside the sleds, there won't be a trail for it to follow, if you see what I mean. On the ground, at least. Ooh, that's a point. Is it breezy? We're on a mountain. It's probably windy.
Yeah. Although the wind is mostly coming down the mountain, not going up.
So that should work in our favour, as long as we go crosswind.
Yeah, you think maybe it's sort of... It's mostly coming down the mountain, but it's also going along, and you think that's how it's caught the scent of the butchery area.
Okay. So that's an option. We could just not engage, move camp, and rest up once we get to somewhere new and possibly not found by it.
The only thing I'd say there is, if you do that, you're giving up the using the cadaver as an ambush point.
So, if we want to hit it, seems like this is the best area to prepare in it. Prepare for it, then.
It's basically, either we use that as an ambush point, or we move and hope it doesn't find us.
Yep,
basically.
Either way, it's a gamble.
Is there much meat on these things?
How do you mean? On tusk cats?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And there's the added bonus of... There's a certain amount of... What's the best way to put it? I'm trying to...
Prestige?
Yeah, that's the... That is definitely the word. Somebody who's taken out a tusk cat, or a group of people who have taken out a tusk cat, that is a group of people to watch. And rocking up with a tusk cat pelt and some tusk cat teeth, yeah, that's... You're going to go up in the world. Those of you that survive will go up in the world.
Yeah, but how many of us are actually going to survive?
Depends on how lucky you get. Honestly,
how much the bear spirit is in our favor.
True. I mean, if you look at the fight you have with the elk is slightly less physically powerful, but slightly more armored, as it were. But you, by planning accordingly, you took it out pretty damn quickly.
I mean, I'm just having a little moment here as you're saying that. The thing that was just tossing wolves in the air is a little less physically formidable than this.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But bear in mind that this creature is an apex predator.
This creature eats the creature you just fought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it is possibly injured or old.
In any case.
And we're down a... Man, ooh, so to speak.
That's a good point.
You are down the incredibly lucky person, yes.
And we don't have traps set up.
You don't currently have traps set up. Yes, I think you're at the point of planning, people.
Haven't we decided to run away?
I think we have decided to run away.
Yeah, running away sounds the better plan.
It looks a lot like we might be a bit out of our depth on this one.
Yeah.
Okay. So
we do not care about status. We just want to go home.
I think we care more about being alive.
Sorry, say again, Bloody.
We have tons of meat. That's very statusy, as it is.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very true.
And we did go out in, you know, the middle of winter and all that jazz, so...
The middle of the worst winter.
Yes.
Exactly.
If you get that meat back home, you will definitely still be heroes, even if you don't fight the tusk cat.
Yeah. So let's not fight the tusk cat, and let's just go home.
So.
Well, let's plan not to fight the tusk cat.
Yes. So the question becomes, what is your plan for getting away right now?
Load up the fire with wood and incense to effectively stink bomb, break our trail.
Yeah.
And then... use the sleds to get the stuff it's looking for away without leaking a physical trail for it to follow. And if we can manage to go downwind, which I believe is downhill, so the way we wanted to go anyway, And then once we get what we think is a reasonably broken distance away, we can set camp again and try and get some rest before exhaustion really kicks in.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. Right then.
Is it also worth putting the offal in the blood side?
Well,
just to give it something to distract it for a little bit.
Yeah, the offal is still already over by the bones and such.
Okay, well that's
so that's fine. We'll go first anyway.
Are there any trees nearby? We could just like stick a bit of the offal in the tree so it'll take it a bit longer to get it.
There's trees everywhere. You're under one for a start.
I'm just thinking if we scatter it a little.
Yeah?
Just, you know.
Okay.
Maybe not completely scatter it, but like I'm just thinking of like some entrails looped over a tree branch, so it might have to like make an effort to get to that.
Right, so it spends more time here going around and hoovering up stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a bad plan.
Yeah, that's fine. So, would you be doing that bit then, Archive?
I guess.
In which case?
Unless anyone else wants to volunteer. But...
Well, in which case...
I forget. Does this system have an assistance mechanism?
Yes. I can't remember what it is. This is the problem with running a game for many days. You will be people helping. I'm sure there was a people helping.
If not, don't worry, but I would like to try and improve Arco's chances of making a long-term distraction.
I mean, I'm tempted to just say she effectively gains you as a tool die.
You're a tool.
But without the obvious problem of if you roll one, you break him.
I mean...
Well, I think we should keep that.
I think that's what I'm going to do. If you want to help somebody else in future, it's going to be you roll an extra die. So, Archive, this will be a guileful test. Plus one, if Fren is indeed helping.
Okay, then.
Yes, I'm helping.
I've got 1-6.
Okay. So, what you do is you take the bones and such and... make a nice pile over there with some of the offal, and then you actually shin halfway up a tree and put another chunk up in the tree. So it's going to have to attempt to climb the tree if it wants it. Obviously, normally a tusk cat would just leap onto an elk and bear it to the ground. But if this is an injured one, then maybe that sort of thing will still entice it. Right. Is anybody else doing anything else while you prepare your camp to leave?
Is anyone particularly good at, you know, maybe as a lookout to see if we can...
Anyone with a wear would be the best person for that. Does anyone have a wear?
I do, but I'm helping Archive, so I probably am not available for that.
A wear... no, I don't. Sorry, my brain went completely blank. I thought you were saying, does anyone have a wear? And I was like, what is a wear?
A
like,
wolf.
A thing that is...
Himself.
Yeah, like, what is this thing? No, I don't have a wear.
Ladies and gentlemen of the listenership, we're all very tired. Okay.
Oh, dear.
Failing that, anybody can keep an eye out. Obviously, people with a wear are better at it.
All right. Well, I'll try and keep a lookout then for.
As you already know where it is, that does make sense. Okay. Well, yeah. In that case, go ahead and make me an aware check while you're watching out. And if anybody else has anything they want to do, let me know.
I've got 2 sixes.
Okay. Yay. You can definitely see where it is. It has left where it was and is sort of coming down the mountain. It's coming down the mountain on an oblique angle to you because it's following the scent of the blood, but the wind is blowing sort of... It's coming down the mountains and then going along the bottom because you know how the mountains were sloped down to the top of where the canyon was and then there's a cutoff. Mm. It's sort of sweeping along that cutoff. So the tiger can smell it because he's downwind at the moment, but it's also taking it off in a slightly wrong direction. But eventually he's going to get basically nose into the stream. And at that point, he's going to start coming directly towards you. At the moment, he's a fair ways off. He's actually further away at the moment than he started.
Okay.
Does anybody else have any plans they want to put in place? Obviously, there's the incense plan, which we'll deal with in a minute.
Do we have a pit? Can we make a quick... How quick can we make a pit trap? Sorry, that took me way too long to actually get the words out.
I'm afraid to say that in the middle of winter, probably a very long time.
Also, we don't have a spade.
Ah, yes, this is true.
I think you discussed this plan before, actually, with the elk.
I think we did, because we discussed all the different trap options.
Yeah, it's been a while.
it really has. I think because the ground is frozen, a pit trap, probably not. You could, if you're willing to lose the stuff, you could put a spike trap in the corpse. But you run the risk of pissing the large tiger off rather than killing it.
Yeah, I don't think that's worth it. Whereas a pit trap would drop it in the ground and it would take forever, would give us a bit more of a start, was kind of my point. But I think we'd run the risk of literally just pissing it off if we did the spike trap.
It works so well with the elk.
I think getting as much time for legging it as possible is key.
Okay. Right. So when it comes to the legging it part of the plan, you've created your distraction because you've got where you butchered it, which is a distraction on its own, and then you've got an added distraction of you've stuck a bit of the elk up a tree. Are there any other distractions you want to set here, or are we moving on to incense and run?
Could we put... You know, you got the bit up the tree. Can we spare a little bit more and put it in a completely different direction? Like a little bit in like a completely different direction. So it would kind of go for that bit first rather than following us.
You can totally take some off the sledge. Do that.
Do we have enough to be able to do that?
The elk is fucking massive and you've also got most of a boar.
Okay, I'm just checking, okay? So if I grab a bit...
Yeah, you won't
We do have a whole plan to feed.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I was like, do we have enough?
If you're taking just like a big chunk, a big enough chunk, you think the tiger might be interested, but not big enough that it's, say, like a fifth of the carcass, then yeah, you'll still have enough food to get through the winter. You've got two animals, remember, which was the requirement for everybody's fine.
I was just thinking if we're going to put an incense bomb and then peg it, if we do that and then have a bit that's a little bit closer but kind of in the opposite direction, it's going to go for the chunk of meat that's closer because it's more likely to smell it.
Yep.
Especially if we put it in the direction kind of the wind as well, because I'm assuming, is the wind coming from the same direction as we're meant to be going?
No, it's coming from the opposite direction.
Yeah, so if we put it like kind of downwind, so the kind of smell kind of wafts that way anyway.
I think you mean upwind, but yes.
Yeah, you know what I mean. I don't know
what you mean. That's why I'm telling you. So what you're saying is you're going to have the corpse, then nearby you've got that bit that's up in the tree, and then upwind of the corpse, so that tiger can smell it when it gets there, upwind of the corpse, you'll have another bit just about.
Yeah.
So that it leads it in that direction while you guys head off basically crosswind and straight down the mountains and away.
Yeah.
Away.
Yeah, and hopefully if the wind isn't blowing the smell towards from us towards him, then we've got more of a chance of...
Okay. Well, in that case, I'll ask you for a roll, a guileful roll this time, Odina.
Oh, I have that.
Oh, well, you get an extra die for it then.
Yay!
Is anybody helping Odina while she sets up distraction mark two?
I helped. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I can help if no one else is available.
Okay. So, yeah, you gain an extra die for Kursk helping you.
Okay. Yay, I get two sixes.
Okay, so you've set it up. You think you've got it. It's far enough away that it'll take the tiger, hopefully, away from your trail so that it'll have to go back and start from scratch if it wants to find you.
Mm-hmm.
It's upwind, so it will be possible for the tiger to smell it once it gets to probably the tree chunk, as it were. Right. Are any of you going to do anything else before we move to plan incense bomb and leg it?
Just one point.
Uh-huh.
Do we have to move Ember?
I'm going to assume that Ember is going to come along. Okay. I'm not going to penalise you because somebody's computer's not working.
Yeah, right.
That would be cruel.
I just don't want to knock up and, you know, leave her under a tree.
I mean, you could do that as well. You could hamstring her and leave her behind, because that would definitely solve the problem.
I mean, Odina is totally up for that.
However, I think that might be a little cruel.
Okay.
The tiger would definitely like it, but I don't think Ember would.
The tiger won't come after us anymore.
This is true. Tiger's like, oh, okay. Well, I was going to go after all of that elk, but there's this person who they've hamstrung and left behind. Yeah. No, I will assume that Ember can make her own way, assuming you guys like have a plan to go with.
Okay.
Worst comes to worst, you just shove her on top of the meat. Done.
Okay.
What's not to like about riding half a ton of elk meat? Come on.
If you're a vegetarian, I can think of a fair bit.
Well, there is that, I suppose. Strangely enough, vegetarianism, not really a thing in caveman times.
I was just about to say that.
But anyway.
Certainly not in the coldest winter ever.
Yeah, when really all you've got access to are big fucking elk and boars and glyptodonts, which you didn't go for, but never mind. Right, so you dump... How much incense have you got?
I have some.
Yeah, it doesn't specify.
It just says incense on my...
Well,
equipment list.
Every instance of incense is one use of incense, basically. So you've got some, Odina, you've got some Lop.
Yep.
Anyone else?
I appear to be bereft of incense.
Okay.
Same.
Let me just check.
Did you have any incense, Kirsk?
No, I have not, I'm afraid.
Okay, so you've got two uses.
I'm just checking. Oh. I'm just going to check if the fire starter has got incense. I'm totally taking it off him.
Fair enough.
Was it fire starter?
Ember. So
I think it's the last one on the list. PC8 Hunter and fire starter. Don't think she does.
No, doesn't.
Okay, so you've got two uses of incense. Are you using both now? Or are you going to use one and hold on to the other one in case you need to do this all again?
I'm thinking, well, one use of incense is one use of incense, isn't it? I feel like that would be enough considering all of the other countermeasures we've got going on as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, if people disagree, by all means, let me know. But
if previous experience at LARP is anything to go by, one round of incense is an awful lot. It'll be fine.
Has a more sensitive nose than we do.
Yeah.
Those of us in the course of the dragon are remembering the tent of incense.
At least it wasn't the snow of life.
Oh. Oh dear.
I will explain because we have listeners.
Like, I feel like I'm missing something.
Most of the people on this call were in a group called The Course of the Dragon at LARP. We used to do group meditations, which are a thing in the system that we play. And for this, we used copious amounts of incense to the point where we'd all go into the tent, do the chanting and the ringing of bells and the meditating, and then we'd open the door and literally a column of smoke would just erupt from inside the tent.
Oh my god, I love it.
It was amazing, and I think actually the group meditations that we used to do as the court are the bit of the court that I missed the most, because they were frankly awesome.
In at least one case, I had to step out because of my asthma.
I feel like a lot of the time, they stopped being role-playing meditations and just turned into meditations.
Yes.
That was the good part.
The incense in character was opium. And there was one time, I think I was supposed to be leading it. I can't remember what I was supposed to be chanting, but I suddenly realised at one point I was chanting opium and had no idea when that had started.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
It was the fact that we were supposed to do half an hour meditations and regularly the refs came in to find us after an hour and a half to ask if we were done. And we didn't realise we'd reached half an hour yet.
Oh, that's brilliant.
But anyway, that digression aside, at this point...
Oh, the flow of life was semen.
Yes, yes.
Oh, just lovely. In case you hadn't guessed.
The snow of life. Anyway, so... I might have cut that bit.
Going back to the incense... Yes. I think we should maybe do one if we, you know, shoot our load all at once, so to speak, then we've got nothing left. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we don't want an avalanche of the snow of life.
No, no. I've definitely got to leave the snow of life explanation in now. Right, anyway.
That's totally why I said that.
Okay.
It does also give us the option of having being able to do it again. If we think that it's following us.
Exactly.
So, incense, leaving the offal, offal in the tree, offal upwind. Okay. I'm now going to make a roll. As you start schlepping away in the middle of the freezing cold night with your two rapidly freezing, admittedly, piles of meat, I'm going to roll for how stupid the Tuskcat is. The problem you have
really,
is...
really, really stupid.
The Tuskcat is not that stupid. Well, actually, no. The Tuskcat is not the cleverest, but it is also quite aware. But you've set up four distractions for it, effectively. So it's going to need to roll quite a few. 6k. It has one more die to roll. Okay. So you guys start pushing on through the freezing cold night. You're pushing two quite heavy sledges through relatively deep snow. Is anybody doing anything to cover up the deep ruts you're leaving in the snow, or are you just trusting to the rest of it and hoping that it doesn't realise what the rut is?
It might be worth doing so.
Yeah. Can we try to do that?
Okay, yeah. It's easy enough. You get a couple of branches and two of you just walk behind, rubbing them backwards and forwards. After... maybe an hour or so. You've still got the general shape of the mountains behind you, and you hear what sounds like the roar of a tiger making a kill. So you think it's probably found the main butchering area.
Okay.
You're not making fast progress, but you're not making slow progress either. But it is incredibly cold. Can you all make me resilient checks, please?
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, of course I am. You're in the coldest of the cold winters. Of course I'm going to tell you to make a cold check.
This is just roll traits minus gods. Any flaws that are appropriate, right?
Yes, it is.
Cool.
Basically.
Yeah.
I get 1-6.
That is fine. You are not cold.
I got no sixes, but I didn't get any
For this,
ones.
The no sixes is as bad as getting ones. You are cold.
Yeah. I always get bloody cold.
I did not get any sixes, and I got a one.
You are cold.
That's why we always get cold.
You two do always get cold, because I've got the sheet where I've been writing whether people are cold or not on it. And you two are the only one who've got cold written next to you three times.
I have never succeeded on that role, ever.
But basically, I think you two just need to walk around on fire.
No, as Terry Pratchett said, give a man a fire and he's warm for a day, set a man on fire and he's warm for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If only
just the fact that we've furred up help at all.
It helps during the day. I have been taking it into account for during the day. You are currently moving at night.
Fair enough.
So the benefit, you're still getting a benefit from it. I'm not making it any harder than it would be normally, but during the day, you've actually been gaining a benefit, which I've just been working out myself.
Fair enough.
Friend, did you make it?
I did. I got 1-6.
Okay. Lop?
I got 1-6.
Soren made it.
No, Soren is cold.
Soren's cold. So Soren, Kirst, and Odina are cold. Ember is fine. She's asleep on top of the elk. And the rest of you are okay. Yeah, you guys start getting really very cold indeed. It's cold during the day, and that's when the sun's up, and you're moving about. You're moving about now, but the temperature is so much lower. You can see your breath, and as you're breathing out, the edges of your fur cloaks are starting to get icicles from the moisture in your breath. It is a relatively clear night. There's loads of stars out above you, but that means it's cold. It is bone-crushingly cold. The guys who are currently cold, you're shivering, you're shaking, your teeth are chattering. At the moment, it's not stopping you from pushing the sleds along, but it is starting to get a bit frail, as it were. So are you pushing on?
What kind of area are we in? Are we still in, like, wooded, or...?
The whole of this area is wooded, unless you're particularly aiming for somewhere. I mean, you could try and go down to the river, because it should be frozen, and that might give you an easier passage with the sleds. It would take you slightly out of your way.
I'm just thinking, I was just going to say, should we just push on until we literally can't go any?
As long as we've got that break in scent.
Like the original camp as possible.
As long as we've got that break in the scent trail, and by this point, we're probably looking at fairly well frozen meat, which doesn't smell anywhere near as much.
It's frozen now. Absolutely.
So it's not going to be able to pick us up again as easily, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So we can start looking at setting up for camp.
Yeah, I think it might be a good idea. Yeah.
We need to be pretty sensible about this, because I'm prepared to bet that our characters will all be aware of how shitty winter is.
It's shitty.
And we will also be well aware that this is the shittiest of the shitty that shitty has ever been.
Yes.
So, I feel like...
Fire and shelter?
Right.
Fire, shelter, don't melt the beef.
Right.
Yeah.
What I'm going to tell you at the moment is, because of your cloaks, you are effectively gaining one extra level of safety. So normally, when I make you make that resilient check, if you're successful, you will actually suffer the penalty of you can't apply traits to roles. So for example, if I said make me an aware check, you wouldn't apply an extra die for being aware. And that's if you make the roll. If you fail the roll, you take a wound.
Oh, now, God.
At the moment, those of you who are cold have used up that layer of protection. So as you push on through the night, the next time you have to roll, you will automatically go to you are suffering the inability to add traits. And if you fail again, then you start taking a wound.
Let's find some...
I was wondering, like, how open is the mountain we're wandering down? Like, if the cat sort of started wandering around to go, where did things go to? How easily would it spot us? Or have there been, like, enough trees and stuff between us and there that would be all right?
I assume that you're taking the route that you know the way back to the camp at the moment. The route you know way back to the cave. Which means you're currently travelling along the trail of destruction that the elk left. There's been enough trees between you and where the elk ended up that the tiger is not going to see you. If it starts wandering around, it could get lucky, and it could just start wandering down the same trail of destruction you're currently using as your highway.
But it's not going to spot us immediately.
It's not going to see you, no.
Okay.
And the elk is now hard frozen. No more dripping is occurring. So even if it picks up your scent trail from before, it's going to probably peter out around about now. It might be able to follow your scent at that point, but the elk is not going to be a problem. So,
I mean, we're all frozen anyway, so.
Well, yes, some of you it won't be a problem for because you are now cave person sickles. So you've spent maybe a third of the night walking now. You reckon that if you just kept going, you'd make it by the middle of the day the next day. Would you keep pushing on?
I think we need to stop and have warmth and wait, go at like first light sort of thing.
I'd be inclined to agree. We need to not turn into
icicles.
Cave sickles. Cave person sickles. Cave pops.
Cave pops.
How long has it been since we had the kill site discovery?
Couple of hours.
Okay.
And I mean, the tiger probably moves a lot faster than we do, so if it was going to find us, it probably would have found us by now.
You have no way of knowing.
That's what I'm guessing, and that's what I'm telling myself.
That's the comforting lie that I'm clinging on to.
Yes, that is what I'm telling myself.
Okay, so are you actually going to camp at this point?
I think it would be worth finding somewhere that's relatively kind of protected from the elements, if possible. But if not, then yeah.
Okay. You can cast around for a campsite. It's relatively easy to find. Would you put a fire on?
I think we need to.
We'd have to.
Don't we?
Yeah, we'd have to.
It's more likely to find us if we've got a fire, though.
That is true.
We are more likely to turn into ice cubes if we don't.
This is also true.
Maybe if you make it a very small fire and just all huddle in very tight around it.
You can do body heat and all that jazz.
You can definitely do that. Right. However, of course, this might be solved by the fact that you've got to try and light the fire.
I have a fire making kit.
Yeah, and you need one to be able to try this. So make me a dexterous check.
Oh, I can do that.
Good.
Hey.
Do I get one for the equipment as well? A dice for the equipment?
I'm going to assume that yes, you do.
Okay. Yeah. I have 2 sixes.
Excellent. Yeah, you can make whatever size of fire you want.
Are we going relatively small?
You've got yourself under... It's not quite a cave. It's like an overhang and you're under that. And you can, and there's some bushes around the outside.
Okay. So if I make it just big enough to produce just the right amount of heat to make us warm, because I'd know roughly, wouldn't I? I'd know like this tiny fire isn't going to produce enough heat. So just make it just big enough to produce enough heat. And then we all huddle around as well.
Yeah, you can make it that large, and then everybody like huddles in and huddles around it. Again, are you sleeping in shifts? And if so, who's staying?
I think it's only sensible.
Yeah.
We've been found with a ton of meat once. and it's by all accounts, very motivated individual. So
you've basically got 2/3 of the night to go. So basically you've got 2 watches.
Okay, so who needs the most sleep?
The cold people,
probably.
Yeah, so may I suggest the people who aren't cold maybe look out while we all kind of get some sleep.
Sure. I'll take first watch.
Okay, so friend take first watch and then Lop. Are you taking the second then?
I'll take the second.
Okay. Friend, make me an aware check for yours, and then Lop, make me aware check for yours.
Okay. Right. I have aware.
Good.
And I get 1 6.
Excellent.
1 6.
You're listening out pretty carefully, as you might imagine, and off in the distance, it's quite a ways away, but you hear crashing, like a large animal has just gotten halfway up a tree and maybe fallen down.
I will definitely mention that at handover point to Lot, as well as about when I heard it, so that we've got a good idea of if it's doing that now, is it going to turn up when, etc.
And then Lop, what did you get?
I did not get a six.
Okay. Your watch passes uneventfully. You don't really hear anything. Nothing that makes you like worried anyway.
Okay.
So, at this point, you all wake in the morning. Well, those of you who have actually slept. None of you are cold.
Yay!
The sky is clouded over a little, and there's a few flakes of snow drifting down from the clouds and falling on the ground below. Off in the distance, as you wake up, you once again hear the sound of the tiger's roar. However, that is where we're going to have to end for the evening. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed what you've been listening to. I suspect, but after editing, this will have ended up being quite a short session. As I said, it's our first time back in about 8 weeks, so I apologize for that. But next week, hopefully, we will complete this mission and maybe get on to the next one. Thank you very much for listening. Please feel free to leave us your iTunes reviews, your Podchase reviews, your Podbean reviews. You can talk to us at Cult of Tea and Dice on the Twitters, or you can talk to us at thecultoftandice@gmail.com or thecultoftandice.net. You can talk to me at Mordrigan. You can talk to her at TGremlin. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.